The house was in a state of disrepair.
Her new rental wasn't move-in ready.
There's a hole in the roof of the house that was covered by a tarp. This is the mold that was growing in the kitchen.
Do you know about this?
I have no idea.
Then, an attempt to cause a catastrophe?
Your complaint is that she purposely left the gas on to damage your property.
Her bizarre behavior just made me suspicious.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. Catherine Sims is suing her former landlord, Anya Hollins, for the return of her security and pet deposits and rent.
Order. All rise.
Case number 126 on the calendar, the matter of Sims versus Hollins.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated. Sir, have a seat, please.
Ms. Sims, you found a house that you liked. The house belonged to Ms. Hollins.
Correct.
It was a five-bedroom house.
Yes.
You have family, mm-hmm. children?
Yes.
How many?
I have three children.
And you were moving into the house with your three children?
Yes.
You went to the house, you took a look at it, according to what I've read in your complaint, and other than the fact that it needed some cleaning up, and freshening up, mm-hmm. you liked the structure of it and you agreed to rent it from Ms. Hollins, and she agreed to take care of whatever repairs and the cleaning of the house before you moved in.
Yes.
That was on what date?
That was on April 6th I first saw the house.
And the lease was to start on the house on what date?
On the 17th.
Now on the 6th, I understand that you gave her a deposit.
I did.
In what amount?
It was $2,600 total, $2,000 for the damage deposit and $600 for pet deposit for two cats.
Whatever. You gave her $2,600.
Right.
So you were serious about renting this house?
Yes, very.
Right? She
yes,
was
she
serious
was
about renting
serious.
This house. Gave you the check. You deposited the check.
I did.
So now you have the money.
Correct.
And then there was some additional money that you sent to her before you moved in.
Indeed.
When was that?
I deposited another check on the 16th of April in the amount of $1,027 to cover the partial rent that would have been due from the 17th.
From the 17th to the 1st of
yes.
May.
Yes.
And what was the total monthly rent on the house?
The total monthly rent on the house was $2,200.
And then, according to what I read, you went to the house on or about the 17th.
It was on the 19th, yes.
And you had already started to pay rent.
Right.
Effective the 17th because you had sent a check to cover the 17th. Through May 1st,
mm-hmm.
agreed. You get to the house on the 19th, and what do you find?
I found that the house was in a total state of disrepair. The lease had read that the house would be habitable, clean, and in good repair.
Just a second. Did the house look the same as it did when you had seen it?
No.
What was different from your first viewing on the 6th to when you moved in on the 19th?
The floors were covered in what looked like the walls had been sanded. There was a thick layer of dust on the floors that I have a picture of.
I'd like to take a look.
Yes. It was swept up by me, just to give you an example of.
Got it. Did you sand the walls? Is that what you did?
We painted the walls. Basically, after Ms. Sims saw the house, it actually looked a nicer condition afterwards because we painted the house and got the carpets cleaned, and Ms. Sims claimed otherwise.
Okay. So they painted the house between the 6th and the 19th. Okay. What else? You have other pictures to show me?
I do. I was unaware at the time of the lease, when I first saw it, that there's a hole in the roof of the house that was covered by a tarp.
I'd like to see that.
And although I know it's hearsay, the neighbors on either side.
Shh. Oh. What is this tarp on the top of the house?
I have on the third floor, there's a skylight. And the previous tenants like to cover just to keep it a little cooler, so they put a tarp over it, and it was kept on it. But there was no leak or anything of any sort.
Well, I see a tarp, but I don't see a hole.
I believe that the water seeps in through the...
Well, what you believe, unless you have some proof of that, is irrelevant to me. What else?
This is the mold that was growing in the kitchen.
That I'd like to see. What is this a picture of?
It is a lazy Susan in the kitchen.
Do you know about this?
I have no idea. I have pictures of the kitchen as well, and there's no mold or anything of
this
sort.
Is clearly some schmutz. I don't know what it is. What else?
This is a picture of a wall in the basement that was supposedly painted, but I believe it to be mold.
Well, I don't know. You have to have some proof of that. Okay, so let me be brutally honest with you, because what you are seeking is the return of your security deposit and whatever rent you paid because you decided that you didn't want to move into the house. Mm-hmm. This is a picture of a tarp over a skylight with no evidence that there's anything wrong with the house. The defendant, as far as you told me, painted the house pursuant to your understanding that it would be...
She painted two rooms.
Whatever it was, this requires a wet mop and a dustpan. This looks disgusting, but I don't know whether it's spilled Jell-O or anything else, and you have no proof of what it is. I don't have a total picture from you of the inside of the house, what it looked like. It looks as if what you did was you took little pieces of it and said, well, this looks most egregious without showing me a larger picture of the house, which was in fact painted, and the carpets were in fact clean, because if they weren't, you would have had pictures of them. So the issue is whether or not you're entitled to the deposit back. So far, you're not convincing me, Ms. Sims.
I never signed a lease.
That's true. So her counterclaim's going to be dismissed because you never signed the lease, because she has a counterclaim for all the money pursuant to a lease. She's not entitled to that because for whatever reason, you physically never signed a written contract. But the question is, are you entitled to your deposit back? You don't have to have a written lease in order to give a deposit. A deposit is to hold the property. And if you had no basis not to move in, you are not entitled to your deposit back. If nothing else, you had an oral arrangement with her to rent her property. So between the 6th of April and the 19th of April, she stopped showing her property based upon your deposit.
My assertion, though, is that in the lease, it claims that the house is going to be tenable.
It is.
Clean.
What I just told you is your responsibility is to convince me that the condition of the house was such that a reasonable person, seeing what you see, would not have moved into that house. And I'm telling you, based upon this, the only thing that you have is some dust on the floor, which can be taken care of. And I assume you brought me the most egregious pictures you could find, right? That's what you would do if you came to court and said, I want my money back. So these are the most egregious pictures. You show me dust on the floor, which I could do in 5 minutes. In one room, because you say they only painted two rooms. You say they only painted two rooms, so this was either in one room or two rooms. If it was in two rooms, it would take me 10 minutes. And this, I don't know what it is. It'd been very easy for you to find out what it was. Take a scraping of it, take it to somebody and say, is this coffee or Jell-O or mold? So are you entitled to your money back? Your security deposit back? The answer is no, you're not. Now you have a counterclaim. What do you want?
My counterclaim after Ms. Sims moved in and put me through so much pain, also legal fees, she harassed me. She sent me text messages.
She wanted her money back. Listen, you have to understand this, Ms. Hollins.
Right.
You have to explain to me what you believe the harassment was, because you had no lease with her that required her to pay rent beyond the time she was physically actually there. She was moving in a piano or whatever it was. So you're not entitled to any more rent.
No.
And she felt as if she was entitled to her security deposit back. So her harassment of you was sending you texts?
No. She actually filed while she was living in my premises.
On what date?
I got a letter from her lawyer on April 22nd while she was still living in my house.
Just a second. Did you in fact move in?
I never moved in.
Did you move any property in?
I moved a piano in.
Then you're in. You moved a toothbrush in, you're in.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
My handyman went to the premises and smelled gas immediately. He called 911 and the fire department came and detected that the gas stove was turned on.
And later today...
Where's the car?
The car sold.
To whom?
A gentleman.
A gentleman?
Yeah.
You're a hustler. Big time. And a thief and a hustler.
Real cases. Real people. Judge Judy.
Catherine Sims says former landlord Anya Hollins owes for the return of her security and pet deposits and rent. Anya is countersuing for breaking their lease and harassment.
Okay, so your piano was there.
My piano was there.
So on April 22nd, when did you finally get your piano out?
On the 23rd.
So you lived in her premises from the 17th to the 23rd. Lived because you had property there. Okay. Now you got a letter from her lawyer asking for what?
She returned the keys on the 24th. I got a letter from her lawyer saying she wants to have move-in expenses, rent, and deposit paid. And then what happened, Ms. Sims called me, and she said she's going to move out after the ordeal she had me put through in the, during these 6 days where she claimed the washer-dryer was stolen. She wanted to have money for it. She said she has a cleaning crew there. She wanted to have $300 for the cleaning crew. I was rather relieved that she said she's going to move out. However, I told my handyman to check on the premises while Ms. Sims said she's going to move out just to see that everything is in order because her bizarre behavior just made me suspicious. My handyman went to the premises, smelled gas immediately. He called 911 and the fire department came and detected that the gas stove was turned on.
You can't tell me what anybody said to you unless you have a witness. Do you have a witness?
Mr. Ruppensperger, he's one of the handymans.
Were you the person who smelled the gas?
No, that was no. The other. You have two handymen.
But you were not that person.
But all I can say is...
I don't want to hear you say anything.
Okay.
Your complaint is that she purposely left the gas on to damage your property. That's your claim.
That's your claim. Correct.
But you have no proof of that.
Except for the fire department report, which says the stove was turned on.
I don't know who turned on the stove.
No one else was living there.
You had two handymen there.
Not in the premises, outside.
I don't know that.
Okay.
So you have no proof of anything. And why would she have turned on the gas when she had her piano in there? If the house went up in flames, so would her piano.
I do not believe her piano was still there because it's...
She said, well, you didn't disagree with that a moment ago when she said she moved her piano out on what day?
On the 23rd.
On the 23rd, you didn't disagree with that. You said her piano was there. I said, if your piano's there, you're there. If you have a toothbrush in the premises, then you're there. Mm-hmm. You didn't disagree with me then. So when I said to you, why would she leave the gas on in a house when she had valuable property in the house for which she probably had no insurance, knowing that if the house went up in flames because of a gas leak, so would her piano?
The gas leak was on the 23rd. It was after she moved out.
You don't know that at all.
Okay.
You're guessing.
That's true.
And I can't make a judgment on guessing.
Okay.
You're not entitled to any money back. Between the 6th of April and the 23rd of April, the defendant had her house effectively off the rental market because of you. That's okay. It's because you gave her a deposit and you paid prorated rent. The burden is on you to demonstrate to me that you had a reason to move out, something egregious on her part. These photographs don't even come close to that level. A dirty, lazy Susan and dust on the floor is not a reason not to move into a house. Maybe a reason for you, but that doesn't say it's reasonable. And the standard we use in the courts of what would a reasonable person do? A reasonable person, what if they don't like to mop floors themselves? We'll get somebody to mop the floor and make it clean. Thank you. That's all.
Please excuse me, step out.
She was blaming me for the gas leak.
She was very upset, turned on the stove, locked the house, took the keys, and we had to call 911.
No.
I'm very glad no one got hurt.
You don't know what you're going to get, and you don't know what you're going to be accused of.
I will never, ever be pressured renting my house to someone I do not feel comfortable about, and I did not feel comfortable right from the beginning.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of Searcy versus Wolf. Step forward.
20-year-old Jasmine Searcy is suing Robert Wolf for illegally repossessing a car he was selling her. Robert is countersuing for car devaluation and repossession fees.
Ms. Searcy, you purchased a car from the defendant. You claimed that you made all but the final payment, which was $100. Is that right?
No, ma'am.
How much did you owe on the car?
I owed $717.
And after making most of the payments on the car, Mr. Wolf took the car back.
Yes, ma'am.
You want the payments that you made because, according to you, he had no basis to take the car back.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm going to start out with you, Mr. Wolf, because you have a counterclaim that's sort of stupid, so I'm not even going to entertain it. But I'll tell the world out there what the counterclaim is. How did you meet Ms. Searcy?
I purchased a cellular phone from her.
So you went into the store where she was working. And you had a car. What kind of a car did you have?
A 2000 Grand Prix.
What model?
GT.
a GT.
Mm-hmm.
And you had this 2000 car that was at this point about 14 years old that you wanted to sell.
Mm-hmm.
How much did you negotiate with Ms. Stiercy to pay for your car?
$3,000.
And she agreed to pay you the $3,000?
Yes.
What month and year was that?
February of this year.
And she put some money down. How much did she put down?
$1,300.
And the agreement with regard to the payoff was what?
$3,200 and some change.
Well, you sold the car for $3,000.
Right,
she
plus
paid $1,300. That's $1,700.
Yeah. Right.
The total was $3,270.
Not $3,000, $3,200.
After taxes and everything, yes, ma'am. Because he charged taxes.
Why did he charge tax?
The state charged me tax.
State doesn't charge you tax. When she goes to register the car, she's got to pay tax.
I paid the tax.
Show me. I'm just curious. What state do you live in?
Ohio.
Show me that you paid the tax. Really, Pod?
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
Did you take the car a week prior to the date that the payment was due?
Yes.
Why?
Because I found that the car did not have full coverage insurance.
Oh, no. Not a 14-year-old car. You're ridiculous.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Jasmine Searcy says Robert Wolf illegally repossessed a car she was in the process of buying from him.
Okay, so the car was transferred into your name.
Yes, ma'am.
And you started to make the payments. And what denomination were your payments?
It was $100 every week. So every Friday, we paid $100.
And how many of those payments did you make?
All of them until he repossessed it.
How many did she make?
10.
So far, she's paid $2,300, correct?
Yes.
And when was your last payment?
My last payment was May 2nd, because he already had the car in repossession, but he told me that.
Just a second. May the 2nd. When did you take the car back, sir?
May 2nd.
And when was her payment due?
May 2nd.
So she had not been in default of payment?
That's correct.
And if she was not in default of payment, on what basis did you take the car back?
What started this matter of me repossessing the car was I became concerned because I had not seen the car for a couple weeks.
What does that have to do with you? She's making her payments.
Because it's still my property.
No,
until
it's not your property if you're the lien holder.
Right.
It's her property. That's what this receipt you just gave me as evidence shows, that it's her property, you're the lien holder.
Right.
You can't take the property back, only if she's in default of payment.
In the contract, it states that she has to carry full coverage insurance on the car so that I do not lose the full amount that she is going to pay me.
She hadn't missed a payment.
You're right.
Where's the car?
The car sold.
To whom?
A gentleman.
A gentleman?
Yeah.
You're a hustler. Big time. And a thief and a hustler.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Closed captioning sponsored by... Are you the victim of a scam? Go to judgejudy.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Okay. If you sold the car and you paid this sales tax, you must have a receipt for the sales tax you paid from the other gentleman.
No.
No, you just had this one.
No, I was helping her by paying those taxes.
No. So you were helping this stranger, but you didn't help the other stranger whose name you don't remember. You're a big-time hustler. So on May 2nd, you went to his house to make the payment. He had already taken the car back.
Yes, he took the car a week prior to that day. He repossessed the car a week prior to the
day. Did you take the car a week prior to the date that the payment was due?
I took the car... Yes, I did.
Why?
Because I found that the car did not have full coverage insurance.
Full coverage?
Yes, ma'am.
What kind of 14-year-old car has full coverage?
A car that's being mortgaged.
Oh, no. No. Not a 14-year-old car. You're ridiculous. You're absolutely right. He's a hustler. Judgment for the plaintiff in the amount of $2,700. That's all.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy.
Somebody had to leave, and they left.
Mom loses her live-in sitters.
Who was taking care of your daughter?
My parents.
No, the majority of the time we did have her.
Judge Judy.
When she stopped covering insurance?
I actually stopped it because the condition of the car was ridiculous. I couldn't drive it.
Think twice before I sell a car on payments.
Just stick with the authorized dealer and just go from there.